I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Off-Speed Podcast. My name is Grace Leader. I am your host for this podcast where we dive into different sports stories and different sports around the world. I'm excited to be chatting this week about a sport, maybe sports adjacent, marching band. And I'm going to be joined by Chappelle, who dropped some wild facts on us, not only about marching band, but about his marching band career. In this episode, we're also going to chat through the first week of the NFL season with Chappelle. So looking forward to that. Let's jump right into it. No need to waste any time. Here is my conversation with Chappelle. All right, we are back. I am excited to be joined by the one, the only Chappelle. Chappelle, how you doing?
I'm good, Grace. I'm excited. I've never done this before, this off-speed thing, so I'm happy to be here.
Sports, you know? We do sports on the reality TV wrap-ups. Yeah, well, I'm excited you're here. I mean, it seems like an odd one. I think between the two of us, maybe we could throw in Mike Bloom. Like, what podcast have we not done, you know?
I think. Yeah. You are a very busy lady, okay?
You are you're a very everywhere. Busy man.
Yeah, we're all over the place. Yeah. If we had Mike here, we'd cover at least 75 to 85% of the podcast on RHAP and PSR.
People are going to start turning off, or they're going to look at, I think, timestamps on like a podcast that you, myself, or Mike are on, and like they'll be like, oh, it's 2 hours, but like half an hour of that should just be plugs.
You know? Yeah, like, exactly.
The rest is nothing, you know? The rest is the contents, right? Yeah.
Wait till we get to the end of this, because between you and I, it's going to be a ridiculously long plug session, if you will.
Well, that's the way it goes, you know? So, Chappelle, since this is your first time on the show, I do like to ask people, what is your sports history? What's your background? What sports did you watch as a kid? Who are you a fan of? Teams, players, etc. Give us the dirt.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just pick a sport. Okay. So when I was a wee lad, yes. I used to play baseball. That was like my thing. Cause I'm very fast. I've always been a runner. Yes. So I was like, oh yeah, baseball. If I just getting hit the ball, then I'll be fine. Cause no one's going to catch me. And it worked out well for a while until one day I just stopped playing baseball. Wow. It was like, I looked up and was like, it's hot outside. I don't want to go.
Are you still a baseball fan? I don't feel like you tweet that much about baseball. You're not a baseball
fan. Not at all. I am an Astros fan, which is hard to say sometimes. You know?
I'd like to put that take in the trash.
See?
This is what happened. I totally baited you into that one. I didn't know you were an Astros fan, but I was wondering if you're a baseball fan. I feel like baseball,
I love it because of its slowness. Like, I feel like I'm moving too fast the rest of the time. But like, I love baseball for its slowness. But I feel like for some people, it's just like, no, it's not my speed, you know? And I feel like baseball isn't your speed, if that makes sense.
No, I can appreciate the slowness because I am also someone who moves very quickly. But like, again, it's just one of those things where it was like, it was at the top of my interest when I was like a small child. And yes. I remember having like a Ken Griffey Jr. like signed.
He was coolest, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was amazing. And so I was like, oh yeah, I got to be like that guy. And so it was a good time. But like I said, somewhere, I think what it is, I had a growth spurt. And so there was a time where I was like, oh, I was kind of short, but I could run really fast. And so I was like, oh, yeah, this game was good for me. And then I had a growth spurt in high school and people were like, so basketball? And I was like, no, but it just kind of happened.
Yes.
No high school wants to see like a 6'2" like sophomore walking around like, I don't play basketball, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, every other student is like, the wasted potential on that man.
Exactly. They're like, oh, dear God, if we could just get him. I'm like, 6'2" isn't even that tall for a basketball player.
Spoiler That's alert, the problem is like if your school like trends lower on the average and you just happen to be tall in your high school, it's like, this will actually be more meaningless because I'll just be good at it in high school and nothing will happen afterwards.
Yeah, which kind of leads us to our discussion because I identify basketball as something that I could do, but I was never going to be the best at it, and I never was going to care enough about it because I always kind of wanted to be a baseball player. So around eighth or ninth grade, I got into marching band, and the rest is history.
I love this because I'm excited to get into marching band with you because I feel like there is a degree to which I feel like it is surprising that you are a marching band person, but I'm excited for you to like break down that stereotype that like, no, there is a exact reason why it like makes perfect sense that Chappelle is in marching band. Very quickly before we move on, you are also, you're a big Ravens fan. Is that correct? I feel like there's so many Ravens fans in the podcasting RHAP world.
There are four of us currently, yes, but we are actively recruiting. So if anybody whose team is down and out, it's myself, Mari, Jason Reed, and Puya is our most
just drafted
recruit.
Puya. Yeah.
We drafted Puya recently.
I thought so.
So no, we're it's not a lot of us, but it is a condensed, you know, like the class of 2020 came in like three deep. And so it feels like there's a lot of us.
Yeah, I feel like RHAP, rightly so, it feels like it has like very big like New York energy. So I actually kind of appreciate that. Like it just feels like there's like a ton of Baltimore Ravens fans. I actually like that. So we can drown out the Jets of it all in baseball. It's like every guest, I'm like, tell me your sports fan. They're like, I grew up a Yankees fan. This is so annoying.
Right. Or you listen to Rob and Akiva and they're both like, we like the Mets and we like the Jets. So it's just like, dear God, I've never met any fans of these teams because I'm in Texas, you know? And for me, it was like, being a part of RHAP is like, oh, now I got to hear about other people's teams and sports. It's like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I'm okay with some of these fan bases hanging around.
I like for me that as a Canadian in NHL and the NBA, we only get one team. And so it's like pretty much most of the time, like you're a Raptors fan. Yeah, I'm a Raptors fan. You're a Blue Jays fan. Yeah, I'm a Blue Jays fan. There's a strong Blue Jays contingent in the RHAP podcasting world between Jenny and Haley and myself, I think. And I'm probably missing some people anyway. But okay. So you got a new draft pick in Puya. That's pretty good. That's pretty great. We'll get into some NFL talk later, but let's talk marching band. What, I mean, you said you that's what you signed up for. That's what you joined. Like what made you sign up for marching band in the first place?
I'm going to age myself. So when I was in eighth grade, a movie called Drumline.
Amazing. Yeah.
And I might've been in seventh grade, but regardless, it was like, I went to a predominantly black school. I was from the inner city of Houston. And so like black marching bands were very much a thing. It was always a thing. Black college marching bands, historically black college and university marching bands or whatever. And so it was like something that I was always aware of. I just never thought about doing it. Now I saw the movie and I was already in probably like, you know, like intermediate band or something like that, playing the trumpet, you know, just kind of like I need an elective, that kind of thing. And then I saw the movie and I was thinking, oh, I could do that. That looks like fun. Or they sound great, you know. And so all of those emotions went into like going into high school. And then when I got to high school, I was like, oh, no, this is very hard. Like this is difficult and they demand a lot of you. And I don't know about this. But, you know, it was something I was able to stick to. I made a lot of friends like that. And then when it came time to go to college, I auditioned for some college bands. So I was looking for a scholarship. I had to figure out a way to pay for school. And I got offered a few. I'd actually got offered a full ride to Hampton University, which I believe is in Virginia. I didn't go, so I don't know. I also got offered a partial scholarship to Tennessee State And my parents, my mom, she was like not having it. She was like, "You're not leaving Texas. I'm sorry." And I didn't want to go back to living like near my family. I have this phobia of like staying at home with my folks.
I'm the one who is like, none of my siblings have my brother, but I'm also the one who's like, I'm gonna go further. And I'm not that far from my parents, but I am like kind of the farthest. Yeah.
Yeah. I was determined not to go. And so like, my family is originally from Waco, Texas, and that's home of Baylor University. Yes. And so everybody was just like, you should just go to Baylor. And it's like, see, this is how I know y'all didn't go to college, because we cannot afford Baylor. And y'all don't even know that yet. So I ended up landing on Prairie View A&M. It's part of the Texas A&M system. So it's like down the street from Texas A&M. But they have, it's a historically black college. And so they have a band that I was very familiar with. It wasn't in Houston, so I didn't feel like I was at home. But it's like a little bit outside of Houston. So I felt like I was still close enough if I need to get to anything I needed. And yeah, it was just from there on, it was just experience after experience. I've had some great times in marching band. I've done some things that I never thought I would do, you know, as far as like in the band world and traveling and stuff like that. So it was a good time.
Yeah. I think there's two things, which is band and then sort of cheerleading. And I think particularly in terms of like when men are on a cheerleading team, I think that there's sort of the stigma of like, you couldn't play the sport, so you did the other thing that's like adjacent to the sport. And you just like totally downplay that stigma. Like you said, like very much that you were like, people wanted you to play sports. You could have tried out. You probably could have made the team. So what was it about like these like sport adjacent thing in marching band that like drew you to that?
Yeah. Like after I shook my baseball bug off, you know, I was a big football guy, and I was like, this way I can go to all the football games. I really like music. I've always had an affinity for music. And so it was like, I get to go to all the games. I get to play the music, you know, and then, like I said, at black schools, the marching band is normally a bigger deal than it is at like predominantly white schools. So it's kind of like at the predominantly white schools that I'd ever been to or something. Like I remember going to the football games, and during halftime, people go and they get their snacks and they come back. They kind of like, you know, watch the band or whatever. But at my school, it was like people came and sat down for halftime. Like they wanted to see the show. And so it didn't even feel like you were taking a backseat to the football team. It was like you are almost like an added thing that they were coming to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we really don't have very much of we definitely don't have a college football culture to the, like even to like, you know, 10% of what it's like in the United States. Like there definitely was, like we have homecoming games, we definitely play, but it's like nothing to the degree at which they have in the United States. And so that doesn't really trickle down to like high school either. Like we do have high school football teams. Actually, I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but I was the eventually by the end of my grade 9 year, the starting quarterback for my high school football team, which I think is hilarious in retrospect. So we certainly just like don't have the same type of culture around football. So I think that there's that. And then plus this idea that like you're talking about that like marching band. Can you explain that about like why is it that more predominantly black schools that have that the culture of marching band, like why that is a thing that it might not be in like more white schools?
Yeah, I think it's probably just the culture of football in general. So I'm from Texas, right? And football is such a big deal here that like if you are like,
I've seen Friday Night Lights, Chappelle.
It's a thing, you know. It's like the second or third highest paid person in the state, in our entire state, is like a football coach, you know. Right. And so that's the kind of world we live in here. Like you mentioned homecoming earlier, but like the homecoming mom, you know, that like flower thing that people wear, that was invented in Texas. That's a hometown thing. So like football games are a culture. And I think for a lot of the inner city schools or even like on the college level, I think there was not a lot of funding for like sports teams, right? For recruiting and stuff like that, right? So I mentioned Texas A&M earlier, but the Texas A&M and my school, Prairie View A&M, were created at the exact same time because of a land grant act that the government had basically put in place to say that if you built a predominantly white institution or at the time, a whites-only institution, you had to build a comparable black institution in the same area, right? And so because they were starting to let black people go to college. And so the funding was supposed to be equal as well. But as we know, like legislation happens and then that's the corners get cut. And normally people of color are the ones holding the bag and not getting the bag. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the schools recruiting money and stuff like that were going to these football teams at these white schools. Well, for the black schools, they weren't getting that kind of support. So the football teams were not as good. You know, like we could compete with other schools with, you know, the same type of funding model or something like that or size. But Prairie View A&M was a predominantly black school because, you know, they wouldn't let black students get into a white school. That same white school, Texas A&M, it's made up now majority black student athletes. And so it's kind of like if all those students had gone to Prairie View, all that talent, we would be that Texas A&M football team, you know. But because of funding and stuff like that, they really weren't able to kind of make that happen. And it's been a thing that people have been trying to get around for years. So I think it just became, well, let's focus on what we can do well, what we don't need a lot of money to recruit for, things like the arts. And so when it came to a marching band, it's like the football team isn't good. But if the band could put a put on a show, then you could still bring in tickets. And so I think a lot of that trickled down to like the high school levels where I'm from. And so it's like a mirror or like a mini version of the college experience when it comes to marching bands here. Does that make sense?
That
I think
makes,
I was rambling.
No, that makes total sense. It's like a very good explanation, I think, of like where, you know, schools were forced to adapt in terms of, if you don't get the funding, like what else are you going to do? And taking on marching band and putting a focus on marching band and other activities too, that like, there's more of an even playing field or sort of also like, it's just something that other schools are not doing as much. I think that that makes total sense. So what did you play in marching band?
When I first started in the band, I was a trumpet player. That was like my primary instrument. But I never wanted to play the trumpet. I just didn't know what I wanted to play. I just knew it wasn't the trumpet. So I would play it, but like begrudgingly. And when I got to high school, we didn't have a trombone section. It just, my school just didn't have enough people who wanted to play the trombone. So there was nobody. And I just like kind of nudged my band director. I was like, so what if I play trombone?
With that trombone on
there. I was like, can I do that? And he's like, yeah, but you got a teacher. So like, who has time to teach you a new instrument? And we're like in a competition band. So I was like, okay. So I took it upon myself to learn the trombone. And from there, I was able to get my scholarships and stuff like that. So after high school, I maybe played the trumpet once or twice, but from sophomore year in high school, I think I was primarily playing the trombone at all times. And then I learned other instruments along the way. Brass instruments are weird like that. If you learn one, you can pretty much pick up the rest of them.
Oh, really? I love the trombone. I think it's amazing. I'm also a huge fan of Trombone Shorty, who I actually saw play Trombone Shorty in the Orleans Avenue. I saw him play in New Orleans, which was I was at a music festival and we made sure to park our butts at his stage. We could watch Trombone Shorty. He's so freaking amazing. He's so good.
I saw him too in New Orleans. Yeah, it was one of these times where you're walking by and it's like a music fest. You know, New Orleans has so many festivals.
What music festival were you at?
It wasn't even a music festival. It was like like a Magnolia festival or something like that. It was like something about like agriculture or something. But they always have music and stuff. And we like walk past this stage, and of course, us being band geeks, I instantly like, is that Trombone Shorty? And it was the coolest thing ever. I think it was around the time he dropped his first album. So yeah, that's so crazy. I'm glad somebody else even knows who he is because I love him.
He's the best. Like if you haven't checked out Trombone Shorty stuff, like go listen to it right now. After the pod or pause it as long as you come back. He's amazing. Yeah, I saw him at Voodoo Fest like probably like 7 years ago ish. Yeah, he's amazing. Cool. I think he did some stuff with the Uptown Funk stuff. I mean, you've probably heard his stuff just without realizing that it's like Trombone Shorty.
Yeah, he plays the trumpet well too. I mean, like he's killing it on both of them. He's so good.
So good. Okay, so you played, and then so like you talked about it being competition, and so I know that there are competition marching band stuff, but like what's the mix of do you sort of have to sort of like do the games and then like tour competitions? What does a marching band competition look like?
So like a typical marching band season at most schools, it's surrounded by something called UIL, and that's like the interscholastic like marching band like competitions, right? And they have that for other stuff too. You could go to UIL for different fine arts, but marching band, a lot of those are like those competitions because you have to go and prove a proficiency in different things. They have a marching competition, sight reading, where they put a piece of paper in front of you and you just read it off the, you know, with no practice. I think they give you like 5 or 10 minutes to go amongst your band and then you play it. They do solos and ensembles where you can prepare a solo yourself and play. So I did all of that. And that's kind of more of like the traditional marching band path, right? But then, right. like I said, in Black Souls, it's a little different as well. So we would also prepare for Battle of the Bands. And so if you've ever seen the movie Drumline, it's a big Battle of the Bands at the end where mm-hmm. they come out and everybody does their show and people like, you know, some celebrity group of judges or a random group of like former band people will score it. And then the crowd sometimes get to score. And it's basically just to get people as hype as possible. And we have to do both, honestly, because right. if you want your school to get funding, you need to be bringing in the UIL stuff because that's more school related. But then right. if you want to be legitimate in the Black marching band community, you have to be able to do the show style is what we call it and be able to put on a show for like a battle of bands. We do parades as well, you know, but like I said, it's a lot less military and structured than like a typical UIL competition band would be.
So tell me like your some of the competitions that you played in, like what kind of performances are you like putting on? Was there like a style that you like you had? Was is this like is like your coach like picking different like songs and music or like a set? Like how does a set come together essentially for like specifically? I think competition is where it's kind of the most interesting.
Yeah, I mean, for UIL, you normally do like some traditional marches, something that really shows off your technical skills. So something with a lot of runs or something that take, you know, show a level of difficulties that you as a band can play. And then with marching style, it's very much like your horns always up to the front and up to the, you know, to the press box so everybody can hear you. You never really turn your back on the crowd because you want them to get the full sound. You're making your shapes out there. Whatever the case may be, it might be, you know, it's, maybe it's Halloween and you're doing a show and all the songs are like, you know, spooky songs or something, you know, you're making little jack-o'-lantern shapes on the field or something, you know, cool stuff like that.
What's the Michael Jackson Thriller? You do the Thriller.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But then like in the show style bands or, you know, the more like the college level band stuff that we were doing was more like, we could bring our football team saying like our football team is going to play this other football team. They have a band that's very similar to ours. We're going to see whose band gets the more crowd response or, you know, or the internet. Cool. Like if you post it on YouTube, who are the audience going to say was the better band, who more entertaining, had the best songs, was louder. A lot of that in the South specifically is like a big deal. Like the volume of your band, how loud can they play and still be right. clean and coherent, you know, and it doesn't sound distorted. So it's a lot of that going on as well. So you have little mini battles, you know, it's like the big boss might be the battle of the bands at the end of the year, but on your way to that path, you have to like stop at the football games and handle your business there too. So it's very much competitive all the way through.
I mean, that makes sense to me. I always want to be like sort of, I think to have a competitive edge so that you don't like show up at battle of the bands, you're a little bit like, oh, now we're in a competition. Like the rest of it has just been like, you know, I think there is maybe a reputation a little bit. And again, this is coming from someone who's like, so not been witnessed much to like marching band culture, but I do think it does kind of seem like that's pretty lackadaisical until there is like the big show competition. So it makes sense that you would like probably like input a little bit more of that competitive nature outside of just the big competition, you know.
Yeah, you want everybody battle tested and ready, you know. And then like we said, a lot of times the bands were carrying the reputations of these historically Black schools, so it's like you cannot take the day off. You can't go out there with your marching flip-folio and you're turning through pages and playing, you know, Flight of the Bumblebee. Like that's not going to get you far. You need to come out there and play and dance, and you know, we're doing stunts. I've hurt myself doing a ton of stunts in the marching band. It just happens sometimes. But it's all about putting on a show, because you maybe at the end of the year there is no Battle of the Bands, and then you just have to go off of your last, you know, few YouTube clips, and if people are looking at you and saying, well, the band across from you is better, then there goes your recruiting right there, you know. Why would I go to this band if everybody in the YouTube comments are saying it just doesn't add up to that other band? So it's very competitive throughout, and the heat is always on in the Black college bands.
Interesting. That's one that I think I would have like not expected as much, that it's like quite more competitive than even I thought it was. That's interesting.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'll ask you this, so you can like either have an answer now or later, but I want to know like performances that you're like really specifically like proud of. I know you just talked about like you have injuries, so maybe I'm interested in the other side as well, of like times you were like, oh, we could have just been better, and like what kind of went wrong. But the highs and the lows of like marching band.
Oh yeah, I could talk to you about all those things. Like it was such a big part of my life, honestly. Yeah. In high school, when I was still playing the trumpet, I remember I was trying to get out desperately, and I was not friends like with the trumpet section. Like I was like, it was very clear that I was ready to jump ship. It was like,
wait, hold on. Is there like cliques within, it feels like that's inevitable and also not great. It's just like, I don't want to be with the trumpet guys.
Yeah. Well, the trumpet section in high school, my specific trumpet section, like I felt like there was like favoritism being thrown. Person who was in charge, that was the section leader. She was the best one of us all. Okay. But I didn't. Yes. I felt like I was like not as good as her, not by any means, but I felt like I was better than some of the other bums we were with. When it came time for people,
name
to like
names.
Yeah, I don't know. Trust me, I've been waiting for this like my whole life. when it came time for us to pick our parts, you know, like you want stronger players who can hit the notes. As trumpet players, you have to kind of be able to go up there on the higher notes sometimes. And I was like, I could do this, but I was never given that shot. And besides, I wanted out anyway. So it's kind of like I was kind of beefing with them, low-key. You spend a lot of time with people in the band. You know, you find yourself traveling and practice before school, a lot of times after school, football games, a lot of time. And so it was kind of like I could feel myself pulling away and thinking I can get out of here. So it was a tough time. But before I left, I remember we were all just kind of hanging out. And we got called into the band room and they had this big announcement for us. And they're like, oh, you know, the Super Bowl is coming to Texas. And I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And they're like, yeah, but we need the marching band to be a part of it. And I was thinking, oh, like you want me to be in the Super Bowl? And I'm like 14, 15 years old or whatever.
Yes.
And so they were saying, okay, well, we don't need y'all to play because we're going to have two of the college bands coming in. They were at the University of Houston and Texas Southern University's college bands coming in. But they said, but we do need y'all to be a part of the show, like in the act and in the crowd and stuff like that. So when I was a freshman in high school, I was in the Super Bowl and it was incredible.
Is this Super Bowl 34, am I looking at the right one? 2004, does that sound right? Patriots and the Panthers, is that right?
Yeah, that's the one. And wow. And Grace, you might remember the Super Bowl even better because during that halftime show, there was yeah. Yes, of course, there was yes. Nelly, P. Diddy, Kid Rock yeah. as well, the two marching bands, Justin Timberlake, and the Janet Jackson. Oh,
you got to see this one live? You were front row?
I was
to this one?
Front row center. They gave us specific rules to not go in front of the other stages, but if anybody's ever listened to me podcast, you know, I bend those from time to time. And so I wanted to be in front of Janet Jackson's stage by the end, and I got lucky in a number of ways. I was able to make it there, and then the rest is history. It was a great experience. We practiced for like 3 days because everything had to be set up. You had to wear a certain clothes, this, that, and the other. But it was like the earliest highlight of just marching band changing my life. It was just a very weird coincidence.
You went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I went. So cool.
Yeah, and that was the first time I went.
They give you a ring or what?
No, I didn't get a ring. I should have got a ring. Yeah, I should have got a ring. Maybe if the Texans were in the Super Bowl, but at that time, you know, the Patriots and the Panthers were doing their thing, so we didn't get a ring. But we did get to say we were in the Super Bowl halftime show.
That's like a very good like two truths and a lie fact of like, I've been in the Super Bowl. You know, people will be like, no, you haven't. You didn't play, and then you'd be like, I was in the marching band during the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, Grace, I was in the Super Bowl twice.
Oh my God,
that's a better two truths and a lie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
well, or you could use those both, because then one just would be the lie.
Yeah,
but okay, what other Super Bowl were you in?
Well, when I was in college at Prairie View, I think it was 2010.
I hope there's another weird incident, and so you just are like, I hope you're the Forrest Gump of marching band Super Bowl acts, where like I was
every time
they
come
Jackson
to Texas,
one,
no, that's fair. If they come back to Texas and I'm not in the Super Bowl, it doesn't count.
That's right.
So I was in school, and at that time I had been playing the trombone for a while. We had an issue with our drum line. So a lot of the drummers they had some great issues. We had a lot of stuff going on with the drummers. I think we had a bunch of freshmen who were on the drum line at that time. Mm-hmm. And typically freshmen just don't do that well in college straight out the gate. They need more assistance. They need more leadership, this kind of stuff. And we didn't have any upperclassmen in the drum line that were readily available to help them. So after the first semester of school, a lot of them were back at home, you know, trying to get their grades up at community college, whatever the case may be. And so we had a big meeting and said, we've been contacted to do the Super Bowl, but we don't have enough drummers. So we need people who can play the drums. And I'm sitting there and my hand just kind of goes up, and I don't know why, because I don't
know how to play the drums.
No, I do not. But I felt like, how hard could this be? And so yes, they needed people to play snare drum, tenor drum, and they needed some cymbal players. They needed some trumpet players, and they needed the drum majors there as well. I reached over to my friend. I said, we're doing this. And next thing you know, we were in the Super Bowl in Dallas, Texas, for the Steelers, and I believe it's the Packers.
The Packers,
And this time, won, I was... Yeah. Yeah, and thank God, because if I was ever in a building where the Steelers have to win a game, dear God, I'll kill myself. I won't kill myself, but I'm saying I would be very upset. And I probably would have gone to jail. But I did all of that. And yes, this time I performed in the Super Bowl halftime show. I just wasn't a part of it. And so I was a drummer with the Black Eyed Peas.
Do you know who I saw also at Voodoo Fest? The Black Eyed Peas. Yeah.
We've basically been hanging out this whole time.
Who knew? Yeah. Yeah. We're in New Orleans again. But yeah, that's amazing.
You're Forrest and I'm Gump. So
That's right.
Yeah. So basically, that's what happened. I ended up in the Super Bowl. It was a crazy experience. We met Usher and Fergie and all the Black Eyed Peas and Slash.
Slash played. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And it was incredible. I've never done anything like that before. I definitely got injured preparing for that one, but no injury was going to stop me from being a part of the Super Bowl halftime show. Every now and then I like tweet out the video, but yeah, it's a thing. I did it twice.
Earlier today, that the pod will drop earlier in the week than you're listening to this. Josh Wigler and I did an Emmys reaction podcast, highlighting all the things from the Emmys the previous night. And I saw that last night the Emmys actually won the Super Bowl. Sorry, halftime show won an Emmy, and now I want to like go back and see if not only are if you appeared in the Super Bowl, I wonder if you're an Emmy award winning like drummer / trombonist. If like any previous Super Bowls have won a halftime show, I don't know if it was like variety performance or whatever, but because that would be amazing too. Yeah,
no, that I just know if I won an Emmy, nobody told me.
Yeah, I just know that last night the last year's Super Bowl or this year's Super Bowl, I guess, won an Emmy for the performance. So
I mean, one thing I do know about the Super Bowl halftime show that I was in, we broke the world record for most televised event. But I think the Super Bowl does that every like 2 years,
every
time it like tops itself. But at the time we were the record holder for like the most televised like sports event or something.
Population growth, you know, so annoying. More people.
I was like, I got the record for like a day and a half, but we had it, and it was pretty cool. And like, I can see myself in the videos and stuff. Like, it's very dope.
That's cool. That's amazing. I'm interested. Like you talked to, touch on a little bit where you were like, oh, I want to get, you know, I want to be in the trumpets. But could you talk a little bit about like what is like the culture of marching band? You talked about like spending a lot of time, with people. I felt that certainly when I was like on the football team. And then I feel like I contain multitudes. I was also on our quiz team for a while in high school. And you these long bus rides, you go, you stay in hotels and all this stuff. But is there any specifically about like marching band culture that you feel like you look back on, like really reminisce about, like why and why it was like special?
Yeah. So like I said, I've had multiple experiences in marching bands. I've been in a part of, you know, predominantly white marching bands and black ones just be throughout like competitions and stuff. And so like you do get the sense that, you know, you the section you're with, you spend a lot of time with a lot of times just because you got to practice so much. But then also you play instruments and you start to feed off each other. I think the best marching bands are the ones where you could have 25 people in the trumpet section, but they all know each other's strengths and weaknesses and kind of pick up on that. You do bond a lot, but in the black marching band world, it is like a trial by fire. Yeah, I remember just being thrown in the deep end and then being like, all you freshmen are together. Y'all are all a unit. You need to take care of each other. Make sure, because y'all are all away from home at college for the first time, you know, that kind of thing. Keep your grades up, help each other practice, because when you show up for rehearsal, it's not practice, it's rehearsal. So you should already know your music. And so I spent a lot of time with the people who came in with me as a freshman. We did everything together. And then, you know, as we got older, we still are, you know, relatively close, get happy birthdays and stuff like that. But yeah, as a trombonist, I always kind of felt like we were kind of in our own little bubble. The drumline, they're always kind of like featured a lot of times because, you know, they can stand alone a lot of times. But in our band, we definitely like, we're able to highlight different instruments. So you might be able to stand up and the trumpets just play by themselves, you know, for like a song, or the trombones are able to play a song or something like that. Sometimes you play a song at the other band's trombones and then their trombones play one back, you know? And so because it's so competitive and stuff, it's like a team. And then there's little teams within it. And so it gets kind of cliquish sometimes, sure. But it's all in good fun.
I know you host a show called Nothing But Netflix. I feel like Netflix having you covered the F1 show on Netflix. I know there's like a bunch more of those coming. There's a golf show, I believe, and maybe a tennis show. I think there's at least one other. I feel like marching band in the vein of what was the cheerleading show just called?
Cheer.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like in the vein of that. I know that the post cheer were, I know there's been some controversy about who they highlighted, but that's not on them. That's on the individuals who are on the show. So it looks like there was a show called Marching Orders, a TV show, a Netflix documentary show. So maybe they tried it and they didn't like it, but I feel like that would be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, one of the other things my school is known for is being on Netflix, because a few years ago, after I'd graduated, we got this like cryptic email from one of our former band members who was like this big. He's like this big wig and like choreography and stuff like that. Now we're like, what's this guy about? Right. And he contacted us and like, can anybody take off 3 months out of their out of their life? But I can't tell you why. Like anybody who still plays the instrument, this, that, other. And we all kind of read the email and I was like, what? No, I can't agree to that with like this limited information. He's like, it's worth it. I swear. We're minding our own business. Beyonce shows up at Coachella. It's on Netflix. Beyonce's Coachella performance, the band that she used was my college. A lot of those members were from my college marching band because the lead choreographer the lead choreographer had reached out to one of our former bandmen and he hooked us up. Like he just told them like they had spots for people. And so had I not had a job and a life at the time, I probably could have been on stage with Beyonce at Coachella. And so, you know. Also Emmy nominated. I would have got an Emmy nomination.
Yeah. I did. I did go and look at the Super Bowl halftime shows were not nominated therefore did not win either of these years that you were there. I believe unless I'm looking at the wrong years. Unfortunately.
Yeah, no. Sadly, but and I missed my Beyonce nomination as well. But like it wasn't the entire band wasn't made up of my former band, but it was a lot of us alumni that I know and friends that I know just through that community that got to do this amazing thing. And so although Netflix doesn't have like the next big marching band show, they've been showing love to marching band in different ways. I did cover on the RHAP Rehab Ups, the show March on CW. Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, which is very similar. But
this is how I know that you. This is how I know that you did marching band is from that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I just thought people were tired of seeing my Super Bowl tweets about me being in the marching band, like you know the Super Bowls. Like I tweet it once a year, and I'm sure people are like, "Okay, Chappelle, we get it."
Kind of. So in terms of, I went to the Wikipedia page. They won the Emmy Award for Outstanding Variety Specials. And this was the rap group that performed this year, which is kind of cool. Yes. that they won. But I went back. I was like looking around like 2011, 2012. In both of those years, I don't know which year you would have been nominated, but in both years, do you know what was nominated in that category? Instead, they didn't win, but the Academy Awards itself was nominated for Outstanding Variety Special. And that feels unfair that they would get the Academy Awards would nominate themselves for an Academy Award. That feels wrong. That feels like it shouldn't happen.
And they also won the Academy Award?
No. Too? Do you know what kept winning these years? Is the Tony Awards just kept winning. The Tony Awards won for like 5 years straight from 2010 to 2014. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Incredible. Yeah, I bet they have to like throw it to the Tonys because it's too self-serving if they just keep giving it to themselves.
Yeah, and we'll get a Tony Award for something. best audio read of the like introductions or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Eventually, the Academy Awards are going to have their own EGOT. And the Emmys are too, you know.
Wow, that blew my mind. The Oscars getting an EGOT really blows my mind. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah. Anything else you should know? Like, what did I miss? Because I'm, I don't know that much about Marching Band. What did I miss that people should know? If someone's like, I never thought about Marching Band. Like, what should they do? What should they think of? They're like, you know, in high school, university age, thinking about, should I do Marching
Band? One of the things I didn't talk about is because like we always joked when I was in college that there's like really no professional marching bands. Like it's kind of like that's as high up as it gets.
I think there's only three NFL teams, right? Including your Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. I've actually thought about trying out for them, you know, just like passively. Cool. Yeah, it's one of those thoughts like, I mean, do I get to come to the games for free? That's I care about. And it's got to be less work than what we were doing in college, dear God. But
I don't think there's many competitions.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're just up there playing to whoever's listening. Drum Corps International, Drum Corps, they call them DCI. It's like the professional marching band world championship type situation. It's called the Drum and Bugle Corps. It's this whole thing where it's kind of like the predominantly white version of what I was just talking about with the black bands and the Battle of the Bands situation. But those bands sound amazing. You know, a lot of kids, I think, give up on, you know, band because it's like they need an elective or whatever. And then they're like, I don't really want to be a professional musician, so I'm not going to do it. But there are other avenues, aside from just, you know, majoring in music and being like in Whiplash too. You know, there's more to band than that. So there's other avenues and, you know, and like I said, I have friends that were in the Beyonce, you know, Coachella thing, like, you know, marching band it will surprise you with the amount of opportunities that you could get from it. I mean, I've done the Rose Bowl parade, you know, on New Year's Day, you know, it's been a blast. So I guess that's what I always want people to know. Like, like my dad, he never understood why I was in marching band. He's like, what do you like about this? I was like, I like music. And then he's like, oh, okay. But then every time I got to go home or, you know, and tell him about this cool opportunity I got, you know, like, imagine telling your parents you're going to be in the Super Bowl again. You know, they believe me? They did not. Right. It's given me so many opportunities. And I think that most parents should just consider, you know, the appreciating the arts. Saving the art, you know, we love the arts here. I think that's my biggest takeaway is just it builds team building, but it is not as physical as some of these contact sports may be.
Yeah, I think that a big thing I've realized over like doing this podcast, especially when I'm talking through different sports, like things that are not these like traditional, you know, that we're not just talking about baseball or football or hockey or whatever. We get into these other things is just how much I think often the biggest like driving factor between why people like stay in those is often like community and building, getting to do something that like, yeah, of course you should enjoy it. Like don't go and do, but you're also not going to build community with people who are like, you know, don't like doing what you're doing. But if you're like thinking like, I like music, I like, you know, I've always wanted to play an instrument. Like I do feel like, it's like it could be a good fit. And I feel like a lot of what I've seen is that people will be like, yeah, I wanted to try. I was looking for something where I could like find community. And I was also interested in like Ultimate Frisbee. So I went and did Ultimate Frisbee. Now I have this really great community. So, I mean, what is sports if not like all of us watching and like being fans of, you know, the Baltimore Ravens or whatever, to have like community, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's what kept me going. And I know so many other people latch on to that kind of stuff. And it's just one of those things where you get in it thinking, you know, I'm just going to play around, see what's happening. And then next thing you know, you're engulfed in this world and you want to be part of the best and you want to always put on a good show. And then, you know, like I said, it helped me pay for college. I really don't have any complaints about my time in marching band. There's a dark side to marching band. Like there's a dark side to everything, you know?
Yeah.
But all of my marching band experience was great for the most part. So, you know, I could talk about it for hours, honestly. I love all the marching band movies and television shows, but I always watch them because it's like, you kind of have that moment where you relive your glory days. Nothing makes me happier than when I see like a tiny kid with it walking with their trumpet case. Cause I'm like, oh, you know, one day you could be in the Super Bowl.
I have the same thing with like summer camp. It's a thing that like completely shaped my life, like helped me tremendously. When you're talking about like having a thing that you can be like, these are all the skills I took from this thing that I didn't even like really realize were happening at the time. It's the same thing. And I'm always like to my like nieces, like to my brother, like when you send your kid to camp, like your kid's got to go to camp, you know, it's like makes my heart warm of like, yeah, this like community you get. It's a weird culture, right? It's like these weird things. I wanted to ask you about the uniforms. You never really got around to that. Do you like the marching band uniforms?
No, dear God, no. No, it's one of those things where it's one of them. I'm from Texas. Like it's hot and you're wearing layers and you got your boots, you got your spats, you got your gloves, you got your hat, you got your
overlay and all this stuff.
Why is the hat so tall? Some people have tall hats. Some people just have one, like a small hat and then a plume. Yeah. You know, it's like a thing. I think it's just for the effect, because you got to remember everybody's watching marching bands from above. And so if you can give them something to look at, whether it's the swaying of the hats and all this other stuff, it looks really cool when it's moving downfield. So I think that's why.
It's better to have a taller hat than like just making the uniforms like bigger, right? Like,
yeah,
to be able to see from afar. Yeah, just make the hat taller. This amazing.
Yeah. My hat's fallen off and I've lost my plume. Like I've had a ton of marching band experiences where things weren't great. But you know, none of that stuff ruins a show. Ruining a show is just like completely going off the rails. But like I said, by the time you're in college, you're a professional. So
yeah,
it's not something that you probably are going to do much of. And then some of these schools, I mean like Ohio State, some of these bands are just amazing at what they do. I think the uniforms give it an extra flair, but you don't need them. I think you could put them out there in shorts and a t-shirt. It still work.
But nobody's like, I shouldn't say nobody because I don't know anything about like what's happening in the world of marching band, but there's probably be out there like breaking the trend of like what traditional marching band outfits look like. There's got to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, the traditional is traditional. So they lean into that. So you wearing your plume, you wearing your plume. But, you know, for the more lackadaisical bands or like for smaller performances, people will wear like bring out like the sweatsuit or, you know, the shorts and the t-shirt with the hat or something. But like for me, the uniform, it's just too hot. You're sweaty. It's like you peel off all of that battle armor and it's just like you're sticky. It's so bad. But that just shows that you've been doing your job. If you're not sweating, then you really weren't trying it hard.
It's true. All right. That's marching band, I think. I mean, you said you could talk about it for hours. Maybe they'll have to come back at some point and talk more. People can check out your coverage of March. Was that a Nothing But Netflix show or that was?
That was another one-off wrap up, you know.
Okay, amazing.
The show March featured my school again. You see, like if this was nothing else, it was just a big promotion for my college band. But again, you know, when you're a part of something good, people notice. And so they made a show on the CW called March to cover a year in the marching band from my college's, my alma mater's perspective. And so it was crazy to see it like that, because like I said, I've been on TV numerous times with the band. I haven't even named half of them, but you know, like to see them get a show where they're highlighted, it just makes you wish it wasn't on the CW and people actually watched it, you know?
Fair. Well, you know, it was on the CW, so
yeah, exactly. It's like if it's not Arrow or anybody watching it, I don't know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions 18 plus. Let's pivot a little bit. Let's talk about week one of the NFL. Chappelle, I was at a wedding this past weekend. I was telling my friend, I said, I love you and I'm glad I'm here more than anywhere else in the world, but it is the opening weekend of TIFF and it is the first weekend of the NFL. So I was a little bit out of the loop, but for you, what were the highlights of week one? And specifically, I know that the Baltimore Ravens pounced the New York Jets, so that has to be exciting.
It was. It's bittersweet for me, though, because I don't hate the Jets. See, for me, the way I watch football is like I have teams that I hate and they have to lose at all costs. And then there's teams, yes, that I'm kind of like agnostic to, or people that I actually care about, like the team. And so I want, mm-hmm, things to be kinder to them. So by no means did I want the Ravens to lose that game. But, yes, you know, I would have liked to see a better showing for the Jets. It was a pretty bad game for them and it doesn't look great for them moving forward in the season. But I hope, you know, because like I said, I don't hate them. And one of my quarterbacks used to be the quarterback for the Jets. I think he's currently a quarterback for the Jets, Joe Flacco. And so, you know, I want the Jets to do well, just not against us. And so
I think we need to, like, at some point, I would just like for like Akiva and Rob not to continue to suffer as Jets fans, you know, like let them, mm-hmm, like at least like make the playoffs or something like that'd be fun for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For Akiva and Rob, several others, I'm just like, you've been through enough. Some of these franchises are just cursed, Grace. They just are.
Very true. It feels like my takeaway from the week is that, like, wow, the Chiefs and the Bills are still really good.
Like, sadly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's probably just gonna be the matchup over on and the AFC again. Cool.
Well,
all right.
I hate the Chiefs, but okay. I am pro Bills for the most part. You know, as long as they're not beating, mm-hmm, us, I don't really care. And so I hate the Chiefs, though. I hate them so much. And, mm-hmm, so for me, I just to see that they were so good again, I was just like, another year.
Does that come from? Where does hating the Chiefs come from?
Normally my hatred for a team comes from either us, like me feeling like we were slighted by that team, or their fan base being like toxic or hateful toward me and my personal needs for the game. Yeah. And it's just me and the Chiefs fan. We haven't seen eye to eye ever since, you know, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes conversation started happening.
Yeah.
And then listen, Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, but y'all gonna have to lay off my quarterback. Y'all gonna have to leave Lamar alone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think the last Super Bowl the Chiefs won, which was a couple years ago, right? I'm pretty sure I thought we should have been in that Super Bowl, and so that's where that hatred came from.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, because I can immediately understand, like, yeah, I hate the Steelers, I hate the Browns, I hate the Bengals. You know, that all makes sense to me.
How'd you know?
That's like for me, and basically, it's like I can't really ever root for the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Baltimore Orioles. Like any other team, there could be a situation where I find myself being like, even the Astros, like I'd be like, oh, you're playing the Yankees? Think I'm rooting for the Astros, you know? Mm-hmm. But none of those teams I will never, ever be rooting for. So I get that. Any other teams you hate? We could talk about how they did in week one.
You want my whole list? Because I can give it to you.
Yeah, I want the whole list. Yeah.
Okay. Coming in at number 8, the Patriots. They've won too much. And I don't like that.
I have good news for you. I think that they might be bad. So
and I'm happy because of that. Shout out to MJC. I hope he's listening to this. Number 7, the Raiders. I think their whole organization has been garbage up until this year. I think that they've said some off-color things that I didn't like, and personally, their team just doesn't do anything for me. So they're coming in at number 7. Okay.
Yes, number 7. I love it. I really like lists. I feel like lists are like, I'm very structured. I like structure. I like routine. And so I'm like, mm-hmm, oh, what's the second segment of the show? It'll be a game. Maybe it's a list. I've often had people be like, give me your top 5 stories from the start of the season. And now I like this one is, what 8 teams does Chappelle hate? I like this one a lot. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You see, I have not stuttered. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
You said eight. You said 8 so quickly. Like you want all 8. Yeah,
this list is in my heart. Okay,
we'll see if my team is on there. We'll see. Well, this is this will be interesting.
Okay, yeah. Well, coming in next is the Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
They can just go. I'm happy that they finally changed their mascot.
Agreed.
But like, it took too long, and proximity wise, it's too close to Baltimore. Like, you know, like yeah. I feel like if you're in Baltimore and you're a Commanders fan, I just don't understand why, but I do get it. Like, you live down the street from these people. So for me, they're out of the running. The Chargers have now entered the chat.
I do want to say that Washington Commanders, they beat the Jaguars. Their defense looked pretty strong. But I thought Christian Kirk looked pretty good in his Jaguars debut. But all right, the Chargers, they also win. Yeah. In week one.
Yeah, it was tough for me, man, because I hate the Chargers. I hate them specifically because I think last year I needed them to tie.
That was a weird.
The Steelers.
Yeah, that you end remember. Of the season. Yeah, it was like wild. Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't do it. I believe they blew the game, I think.
Yeah.
Like pretty badly. Yeah, they were up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what the hell was that? So, you know, I just cannot support that team anymore. Yeah. I mean, that was the moment they put that the moment I was done with them. So
I love that your hatred of the Pittsburgh Steelers has put into your hatred of the Los Angeles Chargers. I really like that. Yeah.
It's one of those things. Number four is the Chiefs. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
Number three is the Browns because they're the least threatening of the three franchises that I hate the most.
Yes, fair. I like that. Yeah.
Number two is the Bengals because they are the second least threatening. And you see where I'm going with this one. Number one, and I guess this shows a level of respect for them, but also I've hated them since as long as I can remember. Also, their quarterback sucked for so long. The best thing they have going for them is their amazing coach. And honestly, even he has some moments where I'm just like, what are you doing? I cannot even say the name of this team because I don't like putting them number one on anything. But just know that the entire fan base, including Kevin Jacobs, y'all all are on watch. I hate your team. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, and everyone should know it.
Yeah, we said their name.
I had to. I just wanted everybody to be clear, especially you, Kevin Jacobs. I'm watching.
Oh, no. Okay. I think that's what I also, you know, I'm, you know, I don't hate them, but I also don't like the Steelers. I feel like they were very successful around the time when I was like starting to watch at least a little bit of football. They're just kind of like, you know, and they also had Ben, you know, Roethlisberger. So, you know.
Yeah. And then this year, I really thought we were so close to getting a Bengals Steelers tie for the first game this year. Oh my God, Grace. I was like, please miss this field goal, please. And, you know, saved in overtime, narrowly winning by three, the damn Steelers. And so, like I said, I would have preferred the Bengals to win this one. But it was fun to see Joe Burrow struggle. So I'll take that.
Yeah, Joe Burrow didn't look great. My team isn't on the list. I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. So I'm, you know, you don't need to love them, but cool that they're not like deep seated hate. They lose by 1 point against the New York Giants. So that was not super fun. I feel like the other big story out of week one is like, Dak Prescott is injured. I feel like I'm participating this year for the first time in the Rahap Fantasy Football League. I feel like this is might be news people. I'm co-captaining a team with Jordan Kalish. So that should be fun. I'm excited for that. And I just feel like immediately everybody is like, oh no. In at least one league, I took Dak Prescott. Like, oh no. Oh no. Mm-hmm. This is bad. I don't like this. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about cursed franchises. It hurts me to say it as a Texan, but dear God, the Cowboys are cursed. And it is just, I don't know what they did. I could list some things that I specifically think that they did, but I don't know what they did for this bad karma. But they're just, it's just not for them right now. Like, I'm not a Cowboys hater, even though it's very popular to be one here in Texas.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit, but a surprise because you're not a fan of either the Texans or the Cowboys. So I thought maybe they could sneak into your list, but no.
No, no, no. See, I don't hate them. See, that's the thing. I kind of let them cook because they're not in our division. We don't have like a proximity to them. Like I said, the Cowboys, I can hate them for a number of reasons, but I don't. And I have a lot of loved ones that love the Cowboys. And I mean, love it. It's still, remember, this is Texas, so it's in their blood. But for me, I just like, I don't want to have to hear about them, you know, and how this was going to be their year and all this other stuff every year. So I'm just kind of like, I let them cook. It's kind of sad that they went out like this because Dak's out for what, 8 games or so?
Yeah, I do feel bad that he's out for such a long time in game one. I don't think you can come out of a week one loss and be like, well, that would have been our year. I just don't think you proved anything. I don't think you can say that.
Let me tell you about these deranged people, okay? No, I saw tweets about halfway through, before Dak got hurt, that were like, like, well, the defense is getting the game ball this time because the offense isn't doing anything, but they're holding up. And I was like, you don't give a game ball to the losers. What kind of loser mentality is it? The game ball, you're losing. What are you talking about?
There's the old thing in sports that says you can lose the season early on. You can't win the season early on, mm-hmm. which I feel like some people need to be reminded that you can't win after week one. So especially when you lost.
Right. You'll see that I'm talking much more poorly about other people's teams than I am talking highly of my own team, because I know better than to get on here and be like, no, this is our year. There's nothing could go wrong. Listen, I ain't crazy. The Ravens have hurt me before. And so, you know, it was tough to see the Cowboys go through this, but they're not the only cursed franchise. We talked about the Jets. We talked about the Cowboys. I mean, it seems like the Texans have inherited their own curse as well. Yeah. Due to some recent actions. The Browns are never in a great spot. Honestly, the Lions. It must be hard.
Yeah,
it must be
Stafford
so hard
too,
to be
going. Yeah, that was tough. Stafford going in. Yeah, that's tough. Tough break.
Yeah.
I feel like there was like a little bit of most of the people I know are Buffalo Bills fans, just again proximity. But I feel like there's also like a few Lions fans. But slowly over the years, it's like, yeah, I don't tell anybody I was a Lions fan. I'm now a fan of this other team.
Yeah. And that's why I like a fan base like that. I like a fan base that they're down and out, but they're ride or die. And they're telling you, like, we're not good, but we're here. I like that. Right. And then the other cursed team, dear God, the Falcons. Oh my gosh. How?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is,
specific Super Bowl feels like they're incredibly cursed. Yeah.
And this weekend, I mean, they lost to their rival, their number one rival of all time, the Saints, and they lose by 1 point. Yeah. It's just like, pain.
The other, I think, fun story out of the weekend was kind of Russell Wilson going back and then losing to Seattle. It was kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him, but yeah.
Yeah. Russell Wilson losing, I was like, this is interesting, because normally when they have like a revenge game, like where you got the player who's coming like off the, you know, from like getting scorned by their team or something like that, I always like to see the player like kind of stick it to him a little bit.
Me too.
So I found myself rooting against the Browns this week with the Panthers, because I wanted to see our buddy whatever his name is, I can't even think of his name, quarterback, what is his name? Oh, you quarterback. Sasha's going to yell at me. But anyway, Baker Mayfield. I wanted to see him. Yeah, destroy the, and it didn't happen. But they did win. I mean, they did lose to the Browns. So it was kind of like, this is a lose-lose for me. But I wanted Russ to come back and do some things. He did not. It was also
okay. He was totally fine. It's just like they lost. Yeah.
But then you have Aaron Rodgers on the other side, who could not get off the ground during his whole entire game. Like, I mean, they were just, they killed the man. I saw a clip, Grace, that he was giving CM Punk vibes during his media scrum.
I know the Wrestling Wrap Up covered that last weekend, but it's been pretty exciting over in the world of wrestling. But yeah, CM Punk is lost. I think similar to Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers came back, like it was like, I don't get vaccinated. CM Punk has come back to be like, yeah, I'm just going to burn all the goodwill I had for many, many years. I would like to throw that all in the trash.
Yeah. And that's what Aaron Rodgers did. So, I mean, it wasn't fun seeing somebody who's so talented get the snot beat out of them. But yeah, I did watch.
That's fine. All right. Your Dolphins coming to visit you in Baltimore. I mean, you're not Baltimore, but how did this happen also, by the way? I don't know. How did you end up a Baltimore Ravens fan?
Yeah, it's actually a very simple story. So when I was in Houston, I was an Oilers fan. Yes. And then our team left. And our team went to Tennessee. Yeah. And during that time, I needed to find a team. And in the interim, I became a Ravens fan. And then the Texans came. And I was like, well, I can't jump ship now. I'm already all in. And so I'm almost a lifelong Ravens fan at this point. I've been a Ravens fan more than I've been, any other fan of any football team. So
Raven, cool logo, cool colors. It has great players. Yeah, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
Anybody can tell me they're a fan of anything, I'll pretty much be like, yeah, that's cool. You should be a fan of whatever you want. Except the Steelers, right? Yeah, except the Steelers. That's what I'm learning.
No, absolutely not. And also, why is Akiva a fan of the Spurs? Make it make sense.
I think he's explained that. I mean, they had a dynasty at one point,
He was on the bandwagon. That's what I'm hearing. Okay. Sounds good.
I try to justify it that I became like a Liverpool FC supporter right before they literally won every championship. so like the year before, and then they went on to win like Europe, England, Europe, and the world. And I was just like, I promise I didn't jump on this bandwagon, but it does very much seem like I jumped on this bandwagon. So
yeah, you know, the most recent fan base I joined.
Oh,
the Kraken.
The Kraken. That's fun. That's very fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I felt like it's a brand new team. Nobody was going to accuse me of being a bandwagon fan, and they are going to be bad long enough to where it, you know, I can like really like get a good, like feel for being in the trenches. You know, you get really invested when you're losing.
Those the Golden Knights kind of like ruined the idea that like I feel like they messed a lot of people up when they just became immediately good for a bit there. Yeah. Now they're kind of bad again, but it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and Phil T, I believe, hopped on that bandwagon right before the Golden Knights got good. Like, he picked the team, and then they ended up being amazing. Yeah, and so we hate the Golden Knights in this household.
Well, Phil T should, I mean, not going to be a Leafs fan? Like, I don't know. That's Phil T's blasphemous, you know? I don't know. Yeah. you have to suffer with us. Can I talk about cursed teams? Suffer with us up in Toronto. Anyway, that's week one. Week two on the horizon. So fun to have you on, Chappelle. This is great.
Yes, we do not podcast together enough. We can't cover all the ground that we cover if we keep podcasting together. So we can only do this like once or twice a year.
It's fair. Yeah. Well, speaking of what else you're on, and now it's time to like spend 30 minutes on plugs. What else? Where else can people find you?
Right. And I've actually been really bad at doing my plugs lately. I always forget something. So I'm just going to go really slow. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So this week, Atlanta on FX is coming back.
Yes.
And so myself, LaTanya Starks. Yes, the final season, hopefully. Yeah. So myself, LaTanya Starks, and Mari Forth will be covering Atlanta on post-show recaps. So check that out. On Silent Podcast, Sasha Joseph and I are covering Never Have I Ever Season 3. Yes. We're about halfway through, and we're trying to get the episodes out very quickly. And so subscribe to Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast to keep up with what we're doing over there, or just catch us on Silent Podcast and leave us some reviews, you know, all that good stuff. This week on Nothing But Netflix, we are covering something, you know, we're covering End of the Road, I believe it's called. Yes. And it is the Queen Latifah and Ludacris film. It's a thriller. And so me and Rob are going to do some thrilling stuff this week. Last week, we talked about Dated and Related with Kirsten McInnes. And that was less thrilling, but I enjoyed it. Rob and Kirsten are shaming me for liking it so much. It was mildly entertainment, you know.
Queen Latifah was I love that she was just Adam Sandler's husband in Hustle. So she was really great in that. So Give me the Queen Latifah movie, End of the Road.
Yeah, one of our Nothing But Netflix all-stars, because we definitely talked about Hustle as well. So bringing that back around. This week, I will be on the Big Brother 24 Wednesday recap episode to talk about the things that are happening in this week, the horrible thing that happened to Taylor. You know, and I'm going to speak on it. I have things to say. And so check that out on Rob Has a Podcast as well. I'm going to forget something now. Oh, on post-show recaps, I am still talking about The Walking Dead. And so we are talking about the last two episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead, the Walking Dead anthology series. Myself, Jessica Leese, AJ Mass, and Josh Wiggler are covering that. So stay tuned to that as well. And I think that's it, but I'm probably wrong. But follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. And I might surprise you. I definitely will surprise you with something else that I'm doing, because I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's the move. It's like, well, if I forgot anything, you should just be following me on Twitter. So I'll let you know what I'm doing. So that's the move. This was Tremendous Chappelle. I'm gonna do my plugs later. I'm gonna do them by myself. I like to do them by myself.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I like to talk to the audience before we leave. So that's it. Yeah. Love having you on. You're welcome back anytime to slander the Pittsburgh Steelers should be. I don't mean to say that in like,
they just deserve it. Yeah, it's fine.
So I appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. Talking about Marching Band. Until next time. Bye-bye. All right. Well, there you have it. Chappelle. He did leave out a plug, which I thought I'd mention. He was reminded of it immediately after it ended. I believe he's talking about Cruel Intentions on Shit 90s Shows Taught Me with Jess Sterling and Sarah Ferguson, two previous co-hosts and good friends of mine over there on Shit 90s Shows. I did not co-host Shit 90s Shows. I've just done podcasts with them. But yeah, check Chappelle out on that. I am covering House of the Dragon each Sunday with Mike Bloom. We get on the podcast immediately after the episode ends, about 15 minutes, and then talk for a while until our heart's content and we feel like we've got all of our immediate reactions out into the ether, and get into your pod Sunday night or early Monday morning. Also, a new board game show, Roll Call, just dropped over on the Rahap YouTube page. We'll be looking to stream future episodes on Twitch and then put them up on YouTube afterwards. So look forward to that. Wrapped up a few things on post-show recaps recently, A League of Their Own, What We Do in the Shadows, and The Sandman. Covered all three of those shows, and they recently ended. All three were very good and are worth checking out, so check that out. I'm on Twitter at HiFromGrace. If you have suggestions for future topics for the show, please let me know. You could send me a message on Twitter, either by tweeting at me, you can send me a DM, or I'm at, you can email me at grace@postshowrecaps.com, and I will get your email that way as well. I think that's it for now. Look forward to week number 2 in the NFL, the baseball season. Of course, the playoff races, everybody's scoreboard watching is very fun. The Premier League is in full swing. The NFL and the NBA are around the corner. So it's a very exciting time to be a sports fan. Until next time, the podcast is over.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.